All right, we're good to go.
Okay, everybody seated here, ready to start. I call the June 19th, 2018 Finance Committee of the whole meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Set our 6:35. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Just made it nick of time. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Chair Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. We will take input under advisement. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there any public here? No, just our consultants.
Okay. Just nice.
Moving right along. This is a discussion of the FY17-18 annual audit report. Carol will introduce Ron Amen, managing partner of our audit firm, Lauterbach and Amen, who will give a presentation followed by answering any questions from the board. Please review Carol's response to the audit report and management letter. The committee should reach a consensus to have this item approved at the regular board meeting tonight. So, Carol?
Okay, well, I think you just probably didn't introduce him. He is the managing partner of our annual audit, and I believe he was here last year this time, so you might have some familiarity with him. And I'll turn it over to Ron and give a summary of the audit and the management letter.
It's always a pleasure to have Ron here. Thanks for coming.
I told Carol a second ago, I was at a board meeting last night, that there wasn't an empty seat in the house, and they had to go get more chairs for more people, so this is nice.
Ooh.
It feels good.
Ooh, I wonder what happened.
I don't like the sound of that.
Oh. And it was a park district, too, so.
Ooh. We'll get the scoop later, don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it? All right, Carol's had it. We'll just make sure everybody knows later.
So, first off, and probably most importantly, is to thank Carol and the staff of the park district. Once again, it has been custom for this audit for sure, is the cooperation and professionalism we get from the staff is just outstanding. And you know, our firm gets to do a lot of these audits, and we always appreciate the business and being able to do these presentations to get feedback of the industry and where we're at. But the idea of what your staff does, and you know, as the person who gets to see a lot of them, know how good your staff is, because Carol is absolutely outstanding.
It's going to go to her head.
Oh, please.
In the audit report, I'm going to just note a couple pages and then some of the more important highlighted pages. So in the audit, if anybody has your copy there or you're going to flip online, I'm going to start on pages 1 and 2 in the audit, and it's the independent auditor's report. All units of government by Illinois state statute are required to have an auditor's opinion. Our opinion is clean or unmodified, which is the highest and the only opinion you want from your auditors. And the basis of that opinion is that your financial statements are materially correct based on our auditing procedures. From there, I'm going to flip past the pages that are marked MD&A at the bottom, and I'm going to go to what we call regular page number 5. This basis of accounting on page 5 is what we call full accrual accounting, and this is what all other entities that go through an audit have their basis of financial statements presented at. And so this takes into account everything related to the park district, and the third line up from the bottom says change in net position, and you can see that your net position increased by $1.4 million. And that's under what we call the full accrual base of accounting. So what that means is that your revenues exceeded your expenditures by $1.4 million. So I'm going to come back to that number in just a second, so keep that number in your thought. From there, I'm going to flip forward across a couple pages and get to pages 9 and 10. Page 9 and 10 are the same revenues and expenditures, but this is what we call modified accruals. So modified accruals are very specific to only government entities. And you can see, once again, I'm going to work on the third line up from the bottom and work my way across your general fund. You have a recreation fund, a debt service, a capital project, and then you have a series of what we call non-major funds that are just smaller. And you can see in the far right column under the totals, you can see under that modified accrual, the fund balance had a decrease of $211,000 for the year. Ended the year with the number at the bottom, which is $9,001,604 in fund balance, which is a very healthy fund balance. One of the indicators in the government world is to take that number as a percent of your expenditures, and you're about 70% right now, and that number can fluctuate depending on your operating and your capital for the year. So we all know where I'm going to go with this, is you guys have a lot of capital during the year. So that 70% fund balance is a nice healthy number, but it is indicated by the amount of capital that you spent during the year. So if we flip the page, I'm going to take that $211,000 loss, and you can see it's the number at the top of the page on page 11. And this is a reconciliation to go from what we call our modified accrual down to our full accrual. So the bottom number is that number I pointed out earlier, $1.4 million. And in the middle of the page are all the things that affected that. And so in the government world, the simple way to explain it to go from modified accrual to full accrual are things like capital assets and long-term debt. And so you can see there's adjustments in there for your capital outlay, which is the first number of $1.9 million, what you added for the year. And then a series of depreciation expense. You can see some very large numbers of in and out toward your IMRF. But from an accounting perspective, when the number is larger at the bottom of the page than at the top of the page, which is what you have here, about $1.7 million, is it means you have invested $1.7 million into the future of the Park District. So it means you added things like capital assets, and it means you reduce things like long-term debt. So the combination of those two together mean that you have a stronger financial position into the future as opposed to what that $211,000 on the modified accrual. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, the last page I want to point out in the audit is all the way out to page 40. So obviously a long time hot topic in Illinois are things like pensions. So on page 40 is a disclosure on 3 years of information related to the IMRF fund. And the number I'm going to work on, once again, is the third line up from the bottom. At December of 15, the IMRF plan, which is very specific to the Glencoe Park District, was 79% funded. At December of 16, it was still 79% funded. And at the end of 17, it's 89, almost 90% funded. So once again, it's a very healthy number. The way I try to explain that is, in the accounting world, me personally, and I think it's a lot of industry people, that the goal for IMRF is trying to get you to 100% funded, but I personally would never want my pension plan to be 100% funded, because I think there's things like market variations that are all gonna happen every year that's gonna take this up or down, and there's the idea of cash flow, which is the important piece of this. And so to be at 90% funded, I always tell people that's my goal, and so you're there. So that's a good thing.
Okay, that's unreal.
So from there, I'm gonna point out the management letter that we issued to the Park District. There are just two comments in them, and both of them are very basic comments. One is related to the new GASB. The Governmental Accounting Standards Board has one more that the Park District will be required to implement at February of 2019. We've been working with Carol on this. So next year's audit, the new GASB related to other post-employment benefits will have to be implemented at that time. And then the second comment is a carryover from last year. At February of 17, you had two funds that were over budget. And at February of 18, you had no funds that were over budget.
I have a question, please.
Yes.
What additional information will you need to get from the Park District and IMRF to comply with the February 19 GASB requirement?
There won't be anything related to the IMRF.
Okay.
But what we will need from the Park District is somebody, an actuary, is going to have to compute what they call other post-employment benefits. And so that actuary is going to need your health insurance data provided to them to be able to compute the number. You guys are from Derma Health?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. We're going to be contracting with an actuarial firm, all the procurement agencies. It'll be approximately $2,000 to do it, but it'll provide all the information. We have to complete a survey and give them our information. but then they'll generate the report that then we give to the auditor. Mm-hmm. So.
So in reality, it won't affect the nature or the quality of the benefits that we have for both our employees or our retired employees. And it's not a real hindrance of an expense, but it seems like we'll offer the board members and senior staff a bit more information or a slightly different look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you said.
Yeah. I mean, the point really has to do with what is the cost, potentially, of offering health insurance to retirees, mm-hmm. which by law, insurance code is that if you retire from the park district, that you're allowed to purchase at your own cost, park district does not pay it, and stay on the health coverage for the park district until you're Medicare age 65. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, at your own cost. So I believe currently we have two former employees that have done that. Hmm. And so that's what it takes into account, what costs are out there, where there's really a kind of a liability on the books
right.
for people that are retired or soon to be retired that might be doing that. Hmm.
So that's where it comes in. But if they're paying for their premiums, what additional costs?
Their claims are on our insurance coverage.
And they're older. But it doesn't matter because you have to do it. So
It's a governmental requirement.
Yeah.
One thing that happens in the world, like right now, is there is an OPEB standard out there, and it's fairly recent. I think it was, I guess, like 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago that it went into play. In the Poderma world. Poderma uses a phrase that's very specific to the industry that's called community rated. And if you're community rated, the way the standards are written now, the potential liability is what they call not applicable. They came back and realized how many governments have plans that are called community rated, so they now are redoing the standard. And one of the reasons is because of how Poderma does their rating. But it's a standard that every unit of government, once again, we don't have a choice. The one thing as an audit firm that you can ultimately hang your hat on is something that's called materiality. But in these standards, and if you have two people who are taking advantage of it now, I've already seen the numbers, and I can give you a really good guess of what your potential liability is, and it's material. It doesn't affect your cash flow. It doesn't affect how you budget. Back to when I talked earlier at that modified accrual, it's not going there. It only goes at the conversion to get the full accrual accounting. So it'll be the same thing, kind of how the IMRF liability is recorded now, is it's only going to be on those front schedules.
I just like the fact that the new policy will seem to provide additional information for what we offer employees.
Yep, absolutely.
So there's no minimum, someone can work for a year and
no, you have to be retired, so that means you have to be vested in IMRF. And you have to retire. You have to be at least 55 years old.
That's a little better.
Yeah.
Like people can really take advantage of that. That's what
It's the best thing.
With tier two IMRF employees, they're vested at 10 years. So.
Okay. So any questions? Any other questions either about the audit or the management letter, or as I always like to say, we can answer any questions about the audit process if anybody has any.
Any other questions? No other questions? Okay, then as chair, I direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee, to move the FY 2017-18 annual audit forward for approval at the June 19th regular board meeting coming up.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you,
Ron. Appreciate it.
And are we ready to talk about reserving a portion of our current fund balance for future capital projects?
Yep. Sure. On to Carol.
Kind of typical planning that we wait until our audited numbers are in. We have approximately 70%, I would say, in our two major funds, corporate and rec, that we look, our guideline is 50%, so we have some ability to move money as we like to see to Fund 69 to do the funding for our master plan projects. And so with that, I don't want to go all the way down to 50%. I kind of like to keep it around 55. So with moving it down to the 55% level, we can still move $300,000 from the corporate fund and $700,000 from the recreation fund. In the current year, we did 5 and 5, so we're similar to what we've done, and we hope to continue that. Again, there's a couple of things on the horizon with the minimum wage potential impact to us and the property tax freeze, but I said that last year at this time too, so you never quite know what can happen, but I feel comfortable in transferring another $1 million out of those fund reserves, and we'd look to do that at the next board meeting.
Questions? What does that bring that percentage down to then?
It would bring it down to 55%.
If I recall, that's more or less similar to what we brought it down to last
year. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. And we just never know what the minimum wage was going to happen, because regardless if the state takes action, we've already seen the ripple effect from Cook County taking that action. It's working its way down, and we know we have to do salary adjustments for our seasonal workers next year. We're going to be recommending that to in order to maintain high quality staff. So in addition, we're going to be doing our salary survey with Hay Group this year, so there might be some salary adjustments. Mm-hmm. And while eventually we will pass them on to our users, it's not going to be such the big jump. We're going to do that gradually. So
yeah, and a lot of the camps are struggling with that, and we've had to
A lot of camps are, and a lot of aquatics. I mean, it's really hard to get quality seasonal staff, so you have to make it, you know, appealing to them. And we want the best staff, so we have to make sure we are competitive. And the park districts around this area, we generally talk about what our starting wages are going to be, so that we're competitive
fairly
with each, fairly competitive with each other. Mm-hmm. So that's good. So we do know that we're going to have to raise that. There's a severe lifeguard shortage going on throughout the state, actually throughout the country, and so we know we'll have to raise that in order to get that also.
Mm. Okay, any other questions, concerns? Okay, then as chair, I direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee, to move reserving a portion of the current fund balance for future capital forward for approval at the July, this will be for the July 17th regular board meeting.
Correct.
Okay, and now, Carol, will you lead the discussion on the preliminary 2017 final tax extension?
Sure, I wasn't sure we were gonna get it in time, but kind of got it right before the packet went out, so I decided to include it in there. It's a preliminary look at the final tax rate for 2017. So as residents who pay 55% of what your estimated tax bill was, or your actual tax bill from last year, and then you don't really know what the second contribution is until they actually finalize the extension. Mm-hmm. So I did get the preliminary look at that, and we are increasing our EAV again. So this will be the third time in the last 7 years, which is a good
That's
thing.
Good.
It's going up $20 million compared to last year. So it's just over $940 million that we're looking at for total EAV in our district. The rate stays pretty much the same, right around the 59 cent mark. And our bond and interest fund is pretty level. Again, we have about 10 years remaining on the 9 years now on the 2016 issue that we refunded, or 2006 and refunded in 2015. And then the loss issue will be paid off in 2021, I believe, December. So it looks, you know, good. It's not a decrease in the EAV. Tax rate stays pretty consistent from last year to this year, and it will provide us with additional tax revenues that obviously were part of the budget that we approved in March. Yes, Steve.
Carol, so the EAV has increased by, you say, $20 million.
Yeah.
Is that reflective of the increase in home values in the community? Or
a lot of new growth, too, in the community. Over $10 million was new growth, and another $10 million was kind of the different values of, or the old growth, basically. So.
Yeah.
There was a significant more amount of new growth compared to previous years. We were over 1%, and it's been under 1% for several years, so.
Okay.
That could be the tear downs, new construction.
Yep, that's.
But on a percentage basis, that's pretty, still pretty small.
Yeah. Total EAD increased just over 2.2%.
Yeah.
But it's still. It's
better than the other way.
Yeah. Several years in the 2007, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, yeah. I bet it was flat or, or it was dropping.
A lot of, it was a substantial decrease.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So just wanted to give you a heads up. I kind of do a summary once they finalize the tax extension.
So will you have any follow-up work with the board on this in the future?
No.
No, we're done. Okay. All right. Any other business? Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes.
Okay.
Well done.